From the WGBH Radio Newsroom in Boston, I'm Jordan Weinstein. Jurors in the James Whitey Bulger murder and racketeering trial today heard from a medical examiner, someone who dated a Bulger associate, and a retired FBI agent. Joining me now to talk about today's testimony is WGBH's Adam Riley. Adam, today's first witness was Dr. Richard Evans, who was the state's chief medical examiner for 10 years from 1993 to 2003. And his role in testifying was to talk about the reports that he reviewed and lab materials related to the deaths of many of Whitey Bulger's alleged victims.
That's right. All of them, in fact. He talked us through the documentation that he had examined pertaining to the cause of death for all the 19 people that Bulger is accused of killing. Mm-hmm. And it was very technical testimony. At times, it was so technical that it verged on dry. It was, you know, difficult for a layperson to understand what he was describing. There were other times when it was actually pretty gruesome, not quite as gruesome as the images that we saw last week of bones being pulled from from secret graves and things like that, but pretty gruesome nonetheless. Talk of, you know, how a bullet entered a body, what portion of the brain it sliced through, talk of bullets ending up cutting off the section of the brain or destroying the section of the brain that governs the breathing function, or, you know, blood pooling inside the body of an alleged victim to a point where the blood loss was fatal. So it could get pretty grisly at times.
Now, having heard his testimony, what do you think, which of the murders that he reviewed do you think stood out as important in today's trial?
I'm actually going to highlight two cases about which he had the least to say, and those are the cases involving Deborah Davis and Deborah Hussey. As we've talked about before, one of Bulger's aims in this trial, and his aims are really very limited. He has seemed prepared since opening arguments to concede a vast majority of the prosecution's case against him. But one of the things he really wants to do is to show that he did not kill Deborah Davis and Deborah Hussey, the two women who
because
are on
tough
his,
guys don't kill women.
That's exactly okay. Right. And so as he, you know, tries to burnishing his legacy sounds wrong, as he tries to achieve some sort of, you know, minuscule redemption when it comes to his legacy, at least from his point of view, he wants to show he didn't kill these women. And today, when Dr. Evans, the former medical examiner, was asked if he could identify a cause of death for each of these women, he admitted that he was not able to. That's because they had been buried in secret. Their bodies were so badly deteriorated that he couldn't identify from forensic evidence what it probably was that had killed them. But that may help Bulger's defense team as they try to conjure up kind of an atmosphere of doubt around the killings of Davis and Hussey. This may bolster their efforts to say, we don't know exactly how these women died, and the prosecution hasn't succeeded in showing that that Jim Bulger killed them.
Now, what I found interesting was that Dr. Richard Evans was the chief medical examiner from 1993 to 2003, far removed from the 1970s, 60s and 70s when these murders
and the 80s,
were alleged to have taken place. Why was he in particular called?
Well, I think he was called for a couple of reasons. First off, he was medical examiner when some of the bodies, I think the total is six, I may be off by one or two, but when several of the bodies were exhumed from secret graves, he was the medical examiner then. So he had ownership, if you will, of those cases. But in addition, we were told in court today, the government actually asked him, you know, why, I think it was the government, asked him, why are you testifying in lieu of some of your predecessors who were around when most of the cases we're talking about actually occurred? And the answer was that his predecessors as medical examiner were either deceased or were compromised by illness or, you know, some other cause and were unable to offer credible authoritative testimony.
And there was no cross-examination by the defense.
No cross-examination whatsoever, which I take as a signal that this idea that it may help the defense, that Evans's testimony may help the defense argue that Bulger didn't kill Davis and Hussey. I take that as evidence that the defense team feels somewhat similarly.
Well, witness number two, 52-year-old Patricia Carlson. She grew up in Somerville. She now lives in Florida. And at the age of 16, she dated Bulger associate John Materano. What did she testify to?
This was a real change of pace from Evans's testimony. What we got with her was sort of a brief but telling bit of insight into the mind of a mobster's wife. Patricia Carlson is no longer married to John Materano. She's now married to someone else. But she actually met Materano when she was 15 years old, living in Somerville, and he was 20 years older. She said in court today that it never occurred to her that he was involved in organized crime, that she just assumed that he was a gambler, which of course can have a criminal component as well, but that he was a really, really good gambler, but she didn't think that he was up to anything anything nasty or anything more malignant. They actually ended up going to Florida when she was 18 years old, when Martirano was in trouble with the law here in Massachusetts. They fled to Florida. He asked her if she wanted to go on a vacation to Florida for a few weeks. She said, sure, and it turned into several years. Patricia Carlson talked, among other things, about making trips back to Massachusetts when she was living in Florida with her fugitive husband, John Martirano, who, it's worth noting, has admitted participating in 20 murders and is now a key government witness. She came back a couple of times to pick up cash. One time she met Steve Flemmy, the longtime Bulger associate who takes the stand this Wednesday. She met him at Logan Airport, took an envelope from him that was filled with just under $10,000 in cash, and then, as she described it, turned around and got right back on the plane heading to Florida. On another occasion, she was in town, I believe it was to celebrate her 8-year-old son's birthday. Her son, incidentally, is Whitey Bulger's godson, named James Stephen, in honor of James Bulger and Stephen Flemmy. She was in town to celebrate his birthday at her mother's house for a social event in Winter Hill, and again picked up an envelope containing $10,000 that had been left for her there by a criminal associate of Martirano's in Boston. The defense asked her, did it occur to you at all that you were enabling John Martirano to remain a fugitive, for his criminal ways to go unpunished? And she said, you know, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about how I could pay my bills.
But interestingly, while Patricia Carlson is out free living a life in freedom, Catherine Gregg, the girlfriend of James Whitey Bulger, is doing 8 years in a federal pen.
She is indeed. And that's yet another example of something that we've seen again and again in this case, which is that there are strong advantages if you're a criminal, if you end up deciding at some point in your career to cooperate extensively with the government on a case that's of particular interest to them. John Martirano, Patricia Carlson's ex-husband, has admitted killing 20 people. He did 12 years in prison, and now he's a free man.
The final witness today was Gerald Montanari, a retired FBI agent who's going to take the stand again tomorrow. We'll catch up with his testimony tomorrow with you. But stepping back a bit, finally, Adam Riley, you've been covering this trial now for nearly 3 weeks. Which side do you think benefited most from today's testimony?
To answer that question, I got to give a caveat right at the outset. And that caveat is that Bulger's defense team is not looking for complete exoneration here. They have picked a very limited battle to fight. They want to show that he didn't kill the women who he's accused of killing, Deborah Davis and Deborah Hussey. And they want to show that he didn't commit the two murders that were committed in death penalty states. And given that that is the focus of what they're trying to do, that they're going to give the prosecution almost everything else, I actually think it was, perverse as it may sound, a somewhat good day for Bulger and his team, again, because the former chief medical examiner who was called by the prosecution to talk about the ways in which all of Bulger's many alleged victims dies could not be more specific than he was about the way that Deborah Davis and Deborah Hussey dies. And again, it sounds a little bit perverse to call that a win or an advantage for Bulger's defense team. But I do think from their vantage point, it is. One other point I want to make is that Gerald Montanari, whose testimony we'll talk about more tomorrow, seemed very ill-prepared on the stand today. His ill-preparation actually seemed to throw Fred Wyshak, the prosecuting attorney who was examining him. And I think that that also may end up redounding to the benefit of Bulger's defense team. If Montanari isn't better prepared tomorrow, he's going to be absolutely ripped when it comes to cross-examination. But already, it didn't help the prosecution that his testimony started out the way it did this afternoon.
Okay, Adam Riley, thank you very much for the update.
Thanks, Jordan.
WGBH's Adam Riley, along with Philip Martin, are our reporters at the ongoing murder and racketeering trial of James Whitey Bulger. For the latest on the Bulger trial, including live updates from the courthouse, visit our website, wgbhnews.org.